Yesterday I had a period of a lot of cursive thinking, and I kept repeating nearly like a mantra. That's what the mind does, thinking,
right?
Thinking.
Okay.
But somehow I think at some level it actually, what I was doing was actually still not wanting the thinking. So
yes.
Kind of still suppressing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point suddenly there was a voice from somewhere else, and it was like a light was switched on.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, that's what the mind does, thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly there was kind of completely change
in the
relationship with
that's right.
The thinking.
Yes.
Since then, yeah, the thinking is still there, but there is no problem.
Yes. To me, I really kind of learn how to say mantra lu bae de lai lai yut ni de da sait bae sait ya tabawa bae da sait bae sait ya tabawa bae tu ko tu ko tu pyan pyan tadi pe ni da de da bi mae de aut the ma de sait ka ma chai mu so da ne ne shi de tu ti de
ai ye ji ai wei shin ti ko ye ji
da ma di lo bae tu set prong shwe shwe de chain ja lo de tu a ta mhou de ta cha ni sait ta khu a pyo de de da sait ya tabawa le de ai lo le myin lai yo
And
so you see, then you know that, like, after going through like the exercise of reminding yourself of right view, finally the mind actually has right view, and then Like you said, a different voice said, like, you know, see is just the nature of the mind. And he says, but remember, it's nobody else. It's not a person. It's just the mind, right? It's just another quality of the mind that sees differently. Yeah, and now it sees
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Siyadra says, you know, all the qualities of our mind, they speak to us. Like, you know, metta will speak to us, wisdom will speak to us, dosa will speak to us, lobha will speak to us. They all have their own voices and, you know, so on. But don't ever mistake it for... But it doesn't mean that it's a person, you know? Yeah. And you'll notice that when the mind has a reaction, the mind talks more. When it has a reaction, it continually, that reaction talks a lot because it's trying to get a rise out of you. Yeah.
So, I'm doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I like to practice, and I appreciate Sadhu's presence.
Yes.
And I carry on with the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
One question I have is about. Open eyes during meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I actually practice with open eyes even while sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I don't know how to balance it, because my practice generally is that I have open eyes maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Then I close the eyes for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then another 20 minutes I open eyes again.
Okay.
Or sometimes I have like 10 minutes open eyes and 40 minutes closed eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of alternate according to my state of mind.
Yeah, like you said, that's no problem.
This is okay. You know, I walk. Huh? Open the eye also, you need to be aware. Close the eye also, you need to be aware. Mm-hmm. Both, you need to be scared. That's it. Huh?
So it doesn't matter, right?
Doesn't matter. No, no problem.
Actually, when I'm more
sleepy. Better to be open the eye. Yes. More awake, alert.
Yes.
Right?
That's what I wanted to say. And when I feel sleepy and kind of dull and drowsy, I open the eyes and it's better.
Yeah, light. Because of light, the mind will awake. So quality of mind,
This is the quality of the mind is more important.
Yeah. Awake, alert, people.
To be awake and alert.
But sometimes when I close the eyes, I see clearly images, you know?
Yeah.
More clear. When I have open eyes, there is more thinking.
Yeah, words or sound.
Yeah, more thinking. But when I close
the
eyes,
image more obvious.
Less thinking, but image more obvious.
Images are also thoughts.
Also thinking. Because of
images
thinking,
are also image, thinking right? Mind. Mm-hmm. It's just a visual so, thinking.
In the thinking, we them are a
Our thoughts can recreate all our five senses. So our thoughts can, generally we see the thoughts like as in words. Some people hear their thoughts. A lot of people know visual thoughts because we have images when we are thinking. Mm-hmm. Some people can imagine that they smell something, you know? Can imagine that they smell something. They imagine that they are being touched. You know, they can actually almost feel a sensation, but it's just their imagination because if they open their eyes, there's nothing there. So our thoughts are quite powerful. So we have to be careful.
Concentration.
Yeah, and this is very especially important for people who have good concentration or high concentration to know. Because if you have high concentration, then everything you imagine can feel very real. And so you have to know clearly the difference between the imagination and what's real. Yeah.
Image the color, image do what image no jin awake process the gulong tea. I just want to see it. I have away pit in my image.
He says one time he was asleep and he was dreaming, and in the dreams he said there was awareness, so the mind was aware of the dream, and in the dream he doesn't, even though the awareness knows what's happening, he doesn't know that it's a dream. Then he said he got into a half awake half a sleep state, so the mind is about to wake up, and he says in that state it becomes quite vivid. It's as though the mind is aware, like more consciously, and it's knowing something and it feels quite real. And then he said he woke up. When he woke up, he said the story didn't end, it kept thinking, but the story turned from the visual and the feeling it's real, and it turned into just words in the mind, just words in the head. So you know, he could see how
from image to thinking.
To thinking, to just words, yeah. But they're both all thinking. They're all the thinking mind, because dreams are just our thoughts.
But
in different forms.
I thought that image and thinking is different.
Image is thinking.
Because of thinking, the image is appear.
Yeah.
Without the mind is not thinking, no appear anything.
What did you think images were?
No, I thought for example, when I have memory of some person, there is an image of a face, right?
Yes, that's a thought.
But when I thought about the person, thought.
No, this is intentionally thought thinking.
Yeah.
Before, it's naturally thinking.
Your thoughts can think in words, and your thoughts can also give you the images.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your thoughts still present images to you. It's
memory
a visual.
Memory is also thinking. Memory is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We use thinking, only thoughts.
So the images are another form of thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to mention that one thing I tried today was to stand up when I was drowsy and sleepy.
Yeah.
I tried to keep going.
Yeah.
But the thing that I noticed was aversion. There was aversion towards this sleepiness and drowsiness.
Right.
So I watched the aversion and then the aversion disappeared, but the sleepiness was still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was better.
That was better, yeah. Tu sa ingai do tu mata ya melu lo do da me sik ka ma chai u phin ne ingai do aso ma chai ta sik ko ye shu lai de ma chao de pya wa ro ma ai chi ma ingai da shi de do tu ma de ya pro shu le. A ra po kaung ne. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe one more thing about defilements. I perceive defilements in the form of restlessness.
Restlessness. Yes.
There is a little bit of agitation when defilements are there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it in the body.
Yeah.
And also in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
In the mind, I feel it as kind of proliferation,
yes.
Like many minds following
thoughts. One. A lot of thoughts.
Yes, thoughts, yes, thoughts.
Yeah. So, sick a restless pain, sick mao ko mao kanza mu shi le. A twi sick thema twi ri mya ni ra bo.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out that later, actually. Because I was aware of that defilement, of that restlessness,
mm-hmm.
but later the mind learns from this
mm-hmm.
and doesn't want to dwell in this restlessness anymore.
Mm,
so it's kind of, mind doesn't want to continue with this.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's like kind of
a learning.
Yes.
Yeah. To say ka the restlessness ko chi yin na sik ka tin gan sa ya wa ro na pai di restlessness na manage no
le
set ma phit chin u a ya tu twei le.
Mm. Yin cha do.
Yeah.
Di dai lut ma pe no tu sik a ku ku kaung la ma.
Yeah. When the mind becomes stronger it's like that it understands. It has no aversion but it knows it doesn't need to go there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't really have a question or something that comes to mind especially. I'm enjoying that book. It's a new one, the Shambhala one.
Yes.
And I'm just doing the best I can with trying directly, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Experiencing a lot of the time
mm-hmm.
I'm fully identified in self-view and some of the time I'm not and but I'm just doing the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Alexis gone? Oops.
Yeah, I think I saw someone leave. I didn't know it was someone.
But yeah, no questions or pressing anythings.
Yeah. So
the practice is okay. You're able to.
I'm muddling along.
Applying yourself. Yes. Yeah. Do I do? Yeah. I'm alone.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Do. The calculation. He says there's no reason that you won't be able to. He said yes. He's quite sure that you can.
Yeah.
He says just don't try to make it. What you want it to be. He says, just...
I have to just totally relax and do
yes.
If I touch it.
Yeah. Oh, dear. You have to lose your mind. You have to lose your mind.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of greed. A lot of it. And it was very interesting to hear the end of retreat talk in the middle of it.
Yes. yes. For some of you, it's in the middle of it.
Because it gave me a different perspective on all the thinking that's going on about home and going back home and what I will do and what I want to have there.
Yes.
How I will make it even nicer and better, everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just one part of it, but it's just interesting. It's not so nice. But
retreat alema retreat song ne o taya o na la ya ro sik ka ho ko khrai sai lou ni de ha o a mean a te ya wa de lo ba a chi ma ho blo ha chin sha la ro bo sik ka de ga na nga aim pya nga ba le o pu kaung au lou mai nya le o pu kaung au lou mai so lou nei ja ha o sik ka khrai tri ma tha mi aku a yan tri tha mi de lo phe ba so set hma ni ro อ่ะมัดแม่มาผิดတော့อูบ่อะแล้ว
แต่ติงก็มาติงวันตาว่ะไอ้ไส้เป็ดเสร็จบ่ป่ะโลบานี่ขึ้นไหลอฉิฉิไหลติอ่ะเปียวก็มา
He says you know just it's really good to know what's happening he says there's no need to be get to despair about the state of the mind or what it does because it's always done it anyway just knowing it is the good news because that you know knowing it gives the mind a chance where not knowing it didn't have his teacher always said to him if you know what's happening in the mind that's right view he took that to heart He's always happy when he discovers stuff in the mind, he said. Yeah, his teacher had a nice little ditty in Burmese, and I don't know how to make things poetic, but it sort of goes like this. If you're a bad man and you know you're a bad man, you're a wise bad man. Mm-hmm. Or if you are
lumai.
So if you're like a lumai, if you're a wicked man or wicked person and you know you're a wicked person, then you're a wise wicked person. You know, it's just like whatever it is that you find that you discover about the mind, and if the mind knows that about itself, at least it's a wise mind of that sort. Yeah, he said, and he was considered the naughty child at home, you know, the rebellious child. And whenever his teacher said that, it gave him great satisfaction because he was the wise naughty child or the wise rebellious person. Yeah, so you know, it was for him, it was a beacon of hope. You know, I can be bad, but I can be wise. You know, yes. So that's
good.
So he says, no matter what he discovered about his mind, no matter how horrible the mind or selfish it seemed, or you know, unwise or unwholesome it seemed, he says, if he saw that his mind was doing something, he'd be delighted. He says he knows that us as yogis, we see the unwholesome qualities of mind and it makes us, you know, kind of disappointed. Oh, why is the mind like that? Or despair or depressed. It's like, sometimes, oh no.
Yeah.
Yes. He's like, no, rejoice.
Huh?
He says his thought was always, I'm not that. He said, no, not him. He said, the yogis will sometimes say to him, they saw this quality in the mind. They're like, but I'm not that sort of person, but I saw this quality in the mind. That's not nice. And he's like, no, it's not you, it's just the mind. He says, when we discover things about the mind, he says, it's good because we're not deluded about the way the mind is. Yeah. And he says, we can think that we're good, or we can think that we're something, but knowing what it is much better than thinking that something is another way. He says, in English, there's a saying that if you know things about yourself, it's not always good news. So, yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So the practice sort of gaining some momentum, which is good. So yeah, what I notice is that the I guess the awareness feels more steady and stronger when I'm not sitting. I find when I'm sitting, definitely the drowsiness kind of tends to take over. With my eyes open, it kind of sort of.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the deep work on there. Trying night chin, messy point on night chin. And do what keeps the mind awake.
I prefer.
He says if our minds tend not to be very active anyway, he says then when we sit or sit still, he said it makes the mind a little bit drowsy. If we tend to be much busier in the mind, we still kind of stay awake, you know. But if we're generally quite like
mentally.
Or he said you can sit. Yes. Or you can sit with the right objective, which is I'm going to sit and I'm going to work. Yeah, so you're not going to sit and just be aware like usually when you're walking around where you're just kind of letting it be. You're going to sit and you're going to work. So it's like the intention is I'm going to be awake. I'm going to be aware. I'm going to pay attention. So much more work. So yeah, so you have to do that. He says you do know that the mind works, right? You can see the mind at work.
I can see the mind at work.
Yes. You have to sit and make it work. So you don't wait for it to work. You... personal effort. So right now, in sitting, you need personal effort. You can't let Dhamma effort do its work because it's not working. It's not there in the sitting. So personal effort needs to work in your sitting. You need to be actively trying to be aware, actively paying attention to an object, actively watching out to see if thoughts are distracting you, and you just have to do that. Yeah. Siyaro says, you know, he always says, we are not trying to create anything, we are not trying to push away anything, but that's about the object, you know, we're not trying to push away the experience. But he says, we do need to work with the mind that's being aware. If the mind is not being aware by itself, we need to make it aware. If the mind is, you know, trying too hard, we have to learn to relax it. If it's too relaxed, we have to make it, give it a kick. You know, we need to. Yeah, so he says, if you don't know your mind, he said it might be a little bit difficult to make your mind, you know, to direct your mind and make it work. But if you know your mind, he says, then, you know, it's a combination of effort, of putting in some energy and using some wisdom. So like strategizing, you know, figuring out and applying yourself. So he says, just because... Just because Seattle says he doesn't want us to... Although sitting is not essential, he does not also want us to avoid it because we think that we can't do it. We can learn to do anything if we know how to use the mind. So he wants you to try.
Okay?
Yeah. So because the posture is not what makes the mind able or not able. It's how the mind works that makes the mind able or not able. So in a different posture, the mind has to work differently. You just have to find that way. He says when we learn to work with the mind and like how much energy it needs and how much effort it needs to use and so on, or the wisdom it needs to inject and so on, that's already kind of like Dhamma Nupassana. So, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Don't you just say that, Java? Yes. Tapi dah teruk. Ni orang je apa page ni? Ni orang je macam ni. Yes.
Selective editing.
No.
What did you say?
I said selective editing.
I'll tell you later. Yeah. Yes.
It's not fair.
Yeah, some things are just not fair. Yes. But it's fair to you. It's much better for you. Yes. Yes.
Just one other thing to say. I mean, it seems, it feels for the most part, it kind of feels like defilements are, I mean, they sort of come, I can see them very clearly, and then they go very quickly when they come. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of, it almost feels like they're, at the moment, is just either hiding or waiting. Mm-hmm. Or, which is, just sort of, it's interesting. Because usually I find on retreats at some points, like, you know, the big ones will come, and so far it hasn't come, but I'm sure it will, but yeah, but it's interesting.
Yeah, he says, well, don't sort of expect
it
or anticipate it.
Open.
Yeah, but if it comes, you'll deal with it. He has no doubt. Yeah, we have so much stuff at home in our lives. He said that, you know, stuff is bound to come out when the mind calms down. Yeah, he says, and if we practice continuously, like at home even, you know, we start practicing continuously, this stuff, all these waves after waves will come up to be cleared. Yeah, all our old debts will appear. And then when the mind resolves its relationship to all of these, he says, then finally the mind feels clear and light.
About 6-7 years ago, I was practicing in Mahasi Sayadaw tradition, and I was doing a little bit longer retreat, and during that retreat I started having this bodily reaction that I call like electric shocks. There is no like pain or anything, like any physical feeling related to it, but it's often something like that my hands go like up in the air or something like that, like really fast.
I kind
of like wake up from the meditation.
Yeah.
And they said that like
Kidda,
that the like reason for it is that like the mind becomes so fast somehow that like it starts seeing like my thoughts like so fast that it causes that reaction somehow. But it continued after I finished that retreat, and it has been continued like ever since. But later I became kind of like critical towards that explanation, because
what was the explanation?
Towards the explanation that it's caused by my mind somehow becoming so fast or clear that you know.
Okay.
And because what I have started noticing in, I didn't experience it so much anymore. I used to experience it at like very much at some point, even so much that it was like distracting my meditation. That like I could like sit maybe 5 minutes and then something happened, and then again 5 minutes and like that. And like my theory is now that it's has to do something like has something to do with emotions or like a part of myself that I am somehow repressing,
and it's more like caused by you know, when my mind goes into that certain part of myself where those like some complicated emotions or something are like hidden,
mm-hmm.
and my mind cannot, for some reason, my mind cannot deal with them.
Is that what you've seen, or is that a theory?
No, that's my theory. That is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
That is not what I'm experiencing.
Don't think. No.
But the reason why I think like this is that when I have been trying to investigate that phenomena or that like reaction, what happens when I get that reaction is that my body goes really tense, like my whole body, not just my hands.
After that, or
no, at that moment, like I
together
get, like,
with it,
really stiff, you know.
Together with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I feel that for me, it's a way of like avoiding to experience some certain feeling. Like I have like comparison again that like, for example, like if I'm eating,
yeah.
and I don't like the taste of the food,
mm.
If I hold my breath at the same time when I'm eating,
yeah.
I don't taste like
so much. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
This would be, I think this could be something similar. and this is theory, you know.
Yes.
I don't know if it's like that, but I have this hunch, you know, I have this hunch that there is something like really complicated related to this phenomena, and it's probably like the biggest question mark that I have related to my meditation practice.
Okay.
And I don't think that it's just like just a random like side product of
meditation.
No,
it's not random. This is only in sitting meditation, right?
Yeah, these days it used to be like even like, you know, when being aware, like not in sitting meditation.
Oh, in when it used to happen before, sometimes it would happen not even in setting.
Yeah, right after the retreat, maybe like half a year after the retreat, I even used to have that, like when I was like eating and my hand might go like this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yes.
That's why I needed something else.
right. Yes. Okay. Tu mahasini atoi na ai masavi pita. Yotiaji te kugu loi na zak. Dama zak na nanneli. Don't believe theories, because you can make theories become true for you just by believing them, especially because you have high concentration. Okay? When you have high concentration, you really need to be careful about what you believe, because your beliefs can become like reality, because the high concentration will magnify your beliefs for you. Okay? So you need to be careful of that. Okay, now the reason that this happens, and it's happened to me, it's happened to many other yogis, it's it's happened to Siado. Yes. So he said in his it happens when you have high concentration, or when you have a lot of pain and aversion. So anyway, so in Siara's case, he was practicing all night, his concentration very high, and he said something. It's like your concentration is so high that you don't really see everything that's happening in your mind. But because the concentration is so high, and remember what I said about concentration making things real? So even a twitch in your mind, right, where your mind suggests something to itself and it'll start doing it. So like the mind might have a little idea. For example, in his case, his mind had a little idea about moving his leg. And he said the whole night the leg was like he was showing bang, 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 bang. It was just doing that for minutes, right?
And at that time, he didn't understand. But later on, he saw how the mind worked, and he could see that, right? I had, like, in my sitting, I would have so much aversion to the pain I had that I would go from a sitting position to a lying down position, just like that, plop, like that in a second. And then I would lie there, and I didn't understand this until Seado explained pain and how the mind works. And I remember seeing, while I was lying there, thinking, I wonder, you know, if I can go from a sitting to a lying down position, whether I'd be able to go from a lying down position to sitting. And like minutes later, boom, back into a like perfect, like cross-legged position. And then his kapya also, you know, had his kapya did like a somersault in the Dhamma hall. Because again, you know, aversion to pain or high concentration. And just like the mind just has a thought. I wonder if I can, and then the mind can just follow it. You know, the mind just does it because there's so much concentration. The mind, it's too concentrated to have like a broad power, awareness. So high concentration is such a frightening power if you don't understand what it does and how it works, and if you don't have enough peripheral awareness to notice all the little thoughts that the mind feeds itself, that the concentration can work on and like, you know, use as a power. So
I understand this point, but I would still like to add that the reason why I have this like theory is that every time that happens, before it happens, I have this like feeling that something like really complicated is like rising. Always before that happens. Something, you know, really like, I feel like, you know, and then it happens.
Yes.
It just not happened just randomly.
So the next time that happens, he says you have to, like, be aware of the awareness, because the awareness is key, okay? The awareness will kind of help you not to get over-concentrated also. Be aware of the awareness and then be aware of that feeling that that starts coming, and just notice it from a distance, and it will be like, if you pay attention to it, not by going into it, but from the point of view of the awareness, you will see much more clearly what else is going on in there, rather than what you believe is happening. Like if you believe that something, your mind can feed you those beliefs. But it's better to stay from the point of point of view of awareness, and see what it shows you.
Step back awareness is better off
aware. Right? He calls it step back awareness or step back to awareness. If you step back to awareness, Yara says you'll never be lost in a belief, not lost in the object. Okay.
I've been doing this now for 7 years. I will try another 7 years.
Yeah. If you understand what he's saying, he says it won't take 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this way of practicing and this approach has been new to me, and I've really just enjoyed trying and learning, and I've really enjoyed the open schedule, just how I have to take care of what I should do, and and also like just the fine tuning of how much effort each time, or each if I'm sitting, it's easiest for me.
Yeah.
And also I've been lying down sometimes. It gets more difficult whenever I'm around people or doing something else.
It's just habits, yeah, this is. Yeah. If we keep practicing, it gets easier. So if you keep practicing in the same, like, you know, maybe in the dining hall or something, you find it hard, then you make an intention to try there, and then you sort of learn the skill of doing it there.
It's just
practice. Yeah.
you can start by using just one object, like make sure you're aware of something while you're going through the dining hall, doing whatever you do, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing that that awareness is present, you can also notice everything else that the mind knows while it's doing things, but keeping your eye on one thing. And then you'll get the hang of being more.
Yeah.
Yeah, another way that you can do it is just to be aware of the whole body, you know, just recognizing that the body is moving, the choices that the mind makes about how it is going to move the body, like maybe it wants to reach for something, it wants to walk.
Just
recognizing what action the mind wants to take next, and that will help you to follow in the activities.
Mm-hmm. Then also, I don't know if I have a question, but just something about the defilements or my what has been recently coming up a lot, this anger or irritation and judgments for, towards others. And it's not, I used to be ashamed of or didn't want that, and it's okay now for me to just look at it and just see what's... Just watching, and here it comes again, and all kinds of situations bring it up, and I guess I was just wondering, reading the books and trying to understand or just being aware of it and whatever it brings in my body. And just trying to balance or understand this. I'm trying to be aware of it, of course, and everything that happens in my body and the thoughts, and and then the other part, like trying to bring understanding for it. Sometimes if I
start... What do you mean bring understanding?
I guess just if I start exploring it, like, I don't know how to explain. Just that I don't too much try to understand it.
Okay.
Just explore and be with it.
Okay.
I don't know, something about that.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I have a question about it.
That's okay, no question. Tua, ayo no aso ina si kama makau na ribari pien tua nene shet guwa mashet au tua dasi belo yulo yare tu chilo yare tu shulo yare tu pien ni rau tu se lai chilo yare alumyo tu nene eri poma na le mu tuin bo chosa se bao pioje na le se mau re alu ile na le mu tuin bo chosa mau tu ne ni bo chosa re bo tu ti bo chosa re bo. That's okay, he said. That's enough. Just keep practicing like that, she said. Yeah, just stay with this mind and body, whatever it's doing. It's fine.
Okay.
Hello. Yeah, it was funny. I had another question, but like just now, and I went, so it was, everything has been really calm most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then... like just before, like I suddenly really needed to use the bathroom, so I had some aversion towards that feeling, but at the same time I had a lot of craving because I didn't want to miss even a second of the discussion. and then you were talking about this, like, well, I don't have high concentration, but you were talking about how like even like a thought, like a slight movement of the mind can suddenly cause something, but then when I saw another yogi suddenly leave the room, so then it kind of became overpowering. But then, okay, yes, I'll just go now.
Yes.
Right. So quite similar to what the first yogi said regarding thinking. Like last time I talked about like how the way different kinds of views color the practice and experience in general has kind of been a theme for me recently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought before, if I look at previous retreats or like how the practice in general evolves over time, that one way to look at it would be that I kind of gradually become aware of views and then kind of drop them if they're not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes also like some views are really sticky, and sometimes you know, you drop it on one level and you think you've gotten rid of it, only then later to find it that, you know, it's still there, but more sneaky in a sense.
Yes.
And one of these was exactly as he said, like judging thinking, that I still had some kind of idea of, you know, even though Sayadaw has said many times, and I've read all his books several times, and I knew this, that the thinking isn't a problem. Mm-hmm. and not thinking is not better than thinking.
Yes.
For practice or in like in any sense. But still there was some kind of idea, there was a slight preference.
Yes.
for like the mind being quiet.
Yes.
And I think it's created some tension that now, like, okay, so it's only been like, it's the third day now, but I feel like the awareness has been more stable in some sense. You know, it doesn't really, it's more or less the same throughout the day. I mean, of course it varies, but I think I used to notice this kind of phenomenon where, you know, it would be like this and then suddenly it would crash at some point, or the mind would become dull and irritated.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think it was because, you know, there was this kind of attachment to a certain kind of experience.
Yeah.
And there was also maybe a misunderstanding of awareness, that I associated awareness with like a certain state of mind that sometimes comes with awareness, like clarity, like, you know, like clarity of the object or something.
Correct.
And then if things weren't as clear as I thought they should be, then there was like this kind of vicious circle that then more tension, like, you know, I'm not aware now. And then, of course, it becomes even duller and more irritated. And
yes, even though you are aware. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So now it's been more like, you know, it is what it is, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even, and I guess also with the, when I thought that there was this association of awareness with the clarity of objects, so there was also a bit of like a going to the objects.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more like, really like, not really paying attention to anything particular, or attention can go how it wants, and if there's thinking, then, you know, then I'm interested in that, which is easy for me. I'm naturally interested in thinking, but now I guess I don't see that as in conflict with practice.
Okay.
I think I also noticed that whenever, like, with judging thinking, so when if I thought that thinking is bad, it didn't actually reduce the thinking, but the mind hides it. So what you actually get is less awareness when there's thinking. And I think that's also, like, one reason why the awareness would tend to go like this.
Yeah.
Like, the mind didn't, because it always, if there's any kind of desire, then it kind of sees what it wants to see. So if it doesn't want thinking, then, you know, it can't help thinking, but it can help not seeing it. So that's what it will do.
Mm-hmm. That's all?
Well, you can translate if you wish. That's most of it, at least.
အတွေးကပြဿနာမဟုတ်လို့ပြောထားပေမဲ့စိတ်ကမကြိုက်တဲ့စိတ်ကဖြစ်တာပဲအမ်တကယ်တော့မကြိုက်တဲ့စိတ်နဲ့ကြည့်ရင်အတွေးကပုံများလာတယ်လို့ဖြစ်တာလေနောက်ပြီးတော့ဟိုဘာလဲသူကြားထဲမှာပြောတာတခုရှိတယ်သူဒီလိုတတိရှိရေနော်စိတ်ထဲမှာတတိကတမျိုးတမီလို့ယူဆထားတာဥပမာအာယုံရှိမှတတိရှိတယ်လို့ထင်တာအဲ့တော့အာယုံမရှိသိသိသိနေနော်အာယုံမရှိတာသိသိနေတတိလို့မထင်ပဲနဲ့ဟိုအဲ့ဒါဆိုရင်ဝဲလယ်
มันใจจะใส่กูละตีนี่ล่ะเว้ยเนาะだแม้แต่ดีมะเทนเนาะไอ้มันไม่เจนน่ะจะใส่เนี่ยเว้ยแลนี่ล่ะอาจารย์นอกซ้อมกูถั่วละได้ทีป่ะเนาะเออแล้วမျိုးอเทนเนี่ยนอกนอกปรดีๆอ้วยนี่มาอืมเอ่อเนี่ยอ้วยอ้วยก็ดีหาเว้ยนอกนอกถัดเปาะไล่ตาเว้ยดาอืมอือฮึเคยผิดแต่เอาเว้ยว่าไอ้หนูอายุอ่ะเมียละชื่อไปอายุเปาะเลยตัวผิดน่ะ
ตัวเราอะไรตีเนี่ยตัวกูตัวเปล่าเลยอย่างน้อยส่วนเนี่ยตัวสึกกับตวยตัวว่าดนาไปเนาะตัวตวยเดียวตีอ่ะว่าดนาไปเนาะอย่างน้อยส่วนเนี่ยตัวอายุนี่ตะคุบิตะคุบเตชาตีอ่ะมั้ยลูกทีน่ะอะกูอายุสึกกับเตชาไม่อยู่ในหนองตัวบ้าผิดอยู่แล้วนับรอสึกกับตวยโอตีลายตัวพยายามมาชื่อเราว่าสึกกับสึกวินซาปิดาสรุปตัวอะกูเอลุเอลุตัวแทบเปล่าครับโอเค
So then I see more of the thinking, like I'm more aware,
mm-hmm.
like because there's less suppression, then I also see more. And similarly with defilements, like this is something I've noticed, like since the last retreat, like in daily life. Because I used to have a lot of aversion to them,
yes.
And then you know it reduced at some point, and that was helpful. And then I feel like it's again gone down.
Yes.
So this doesn't happen always, but it sometimes feels like a defilement can show up, but it's kind of like any other phenomenon that it doesn't even seem like there was this. I ran into this metaphor somewhere, I don't remember where, but it stuck with me, like a thief coming into an empty house, that sometimes it feels like it's, you know, it's there, but there's nothing to steal, and I'm angry, but it feels almost like someone else is angry, like it's,
yeah.
You know, it's not, oh, you know, I wish no one were angry, but you know, it's, I'm not going to get upset over this person next to me being angry about something that, you know, has
yes.
nothing to do with me. So it's almost like that with my anger.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes, not always, but
okay.
but it's like, it was kind of like a new experience that,
yes.
before it was more like...
Yeah. That's what Seattle calls knowing it like an object.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's become the object.
Because before it was more like, you know, the defilements go away when I noticed them, but
yeah.
now sometimes they don't go away, but they're kind of harmless.
Yes.
Like when the
yeah.
awareness is there.
Yeah. The relationship is different.
Exactly,
yes.
yeah. And I guess there's also the feeling that it's actually not even the defilements aren't the problem as such, but it's something, you know, it's more like the relationship with them.
That's right.
Like, you
that's
know,
right.
if they drive the car,
yes.
then trouble will ensue.
Yes.
But it's possible to kind of park them in the corner, like a, sort of like a kid's play
yes,
area.
Yes. Strap them into the car seat and you drive.
Exactly,
yeah.
yes,
yes.
yes.
Yeah.
And then they can do what it.
Yeah.
They want they don't have any power as such.
Yeah. Hosakan is sabro re di sakan ti bo no jara ma tu ai ma mat do re. Tu kilita re o mye asa ma ma chai pu re. Da mai lo ba mai ne re to de re re ta chin cha lo yoe la re re. Yoe la ro nabro ma yoe la pi ma to de re re ta myo phit la re re. Ta kha ta le kilita phit nei ne ko wa tu
โอ้งาเนี่ยไม่ใส่ดิโลจี้โลยะวะเลยอเมี้ยยาราหมอกูเด้ถ้ามันตะแกตู้โหงาเนี่ยไม่ใส่ดิโลจี้อะยันทุซะเนี่ยตูอ่ะเอ่อโกเป้มาถ่ายดิเว้ยหลูดอดาผิดตาโหจี้เนดิโลเว้ยเด้บะตูมาดอดาไม่ผิดก้าวน่ะบ่เด้ถ้ามันตูดอดาผิดฉินแล้วกูไม่ตัดหน่ายตู้จี้อยู่เว้ยสุดแล้วไอ้หลูเสิกผิดเด้เว้ยไอ้หลูจี้โลยะเด้
And sometimes it comes in and helps you to see it in the right view, with the right view.
Just one more quick question. So there was a lot of talk about high concentration here, and that's like I think I'm not a high concentration at least that's not my like natural tendency.
Yeah, Seattle doesn't encourage us to have high concentration.
Right, yeah, yeah, I guess that's why I think I remember him talking.
Yeah, but this is something that's happened long ago.
Okay,
yes,
right,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I was going to ask, like, you know, is that something you should, I don't know, I'm probably not in the risk zone anyway, but is it something that, you know, that you should watch out for, or is it something like, you know, individual that for some people it's useful and for other, I don't know, just...
He just... explains how the mind can be when you have high concentration so that you don't get
you don't come under the spell of high concentration, right, because he knows the dangers of it. He's seen yogis, you know, have trouble from it. So, He says all this happened, you know, long ago when he didn't understand the mind very well either, you know, and you just go for high concentration because it feels good, and then you don't understand the effects of it, and you know, you can really scare yourself silly, you know. Yeah, he says, yeah, he was very alarmed when his foot started moving and he thought he had no control over it, not realizing that his mind was doing it because the concentration was too high. You know,
so he didn't see the part of the mind that was
doing it. So it can be very frightening for some people. They imagine that, you know, he's had people imagining that a tiger is approaching them, and it's real. The yogi got up, stood up, and walked backwards. Even with the eyes open, he saw this tiger. So the concentration is too high. He said the tiger jumped and the yogi fell backwards, and then it broke the samadhi. You know, but yeah, it can. If we don't understand high samadhi, it can be dangerous. It is dangerous. Yeah. So. Yeah, he says when concentration is high and wisdom is weak, we don't understand the difference between reality and thought, and you know, he says then it gets all mixed up in that realm. It's not fun.
Then that kind of high concentration is not likely to come in this style of practice if you're not like.
So Seattle does not encourage striving, because striving brings that kind of So yes, it happens very little on his retreats. Yes, but it has happened before.
Okay.
Because yogis can still strive despite his explanations.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like they can judge thinking.
Yes.
Even after years and years, thinking is not a problem, and you know, you've gotten it at least 3 times already, and then again you see that, oh, okay, I'm actually judging thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but thank you.
Okay.
So, I lose my momentum because I'm ill. On the beginning of the retreat, it was itching. The first days I was watching itching, and now I have really big pain here in the throat, and it's connected with anger, fear, and the fear create many thinking, because I'm quite educated what can happen, so my mind goes like this in some bubble, and I'm very afraid, and my thinking goes in this images that I should fly home because I need antibiotic and so on. So I lose my right effort. So this is the question: how to go back? Because I have no right effort now. I need to take rest.
What is right effort?
Right effort is to watch everything, to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not. So, yeah, today is maybe a little bit better, but 2 days I'm lost in some imagination of what can happen. I know it's nonsense, yeah, but in the same time, the mind makes this.
Moment to moment, bo, dame si dame.
This is
right effort, right? Moment to moment, the decent side only. It's not just saying that right effort.
Right effort is making effort, right? Making effort moment to moment. That's all he said.
Next. Are you aware? Next, are you aware? Next, this effort.
Yeah, I know.
No, Mia.
I know.
Why shouldn't you be able to do it, Seattle says? You only have to want to.
I don't know. My mind is wandering somewhere.
But it wanders, but then you remember again, right?
Yes.
Then you start doing it.
He says,
you know, it is not that the mindfulness doesn't come back. It is not that you are lost in thought like 8 hours at a stretch. You know, it keeps coming back. You say that you can't get it because you can't get what you want.
Yes.
He says. But you have what you have. Mm. You need to appreciate that.
Yeah. Again, the same signal. It's true.
Hey, Tuzan, tu larua yani re, yani re. Agu tu ashamed pia doare re labina lo. Yani lo ashulu ya labina balu shulu ya.
Duwebo, duwolha, duwebo. Ya na na wo.
He says so itching or sore throats. Yeah, says it's all the same.
Yeah.
Tell
yeah.
The mind. I object. These are just objects.
I only want to hear it again. So. Thank you.
Well, I'm new with this, without schedule,
yeah.
Type of meditating, practicing, and I'm.
There is a schedule.
Yeah. There is, but there's a little.
The schedule is a bit intense. It's like every minute be mine.
Yeah, I know. And I'm clueless.
Huh?
I'm clueless. I'm clueless. I was clueless before the mic came. That should I ask something?
Yeah.
My mind tries to figure out, should I do something all the time? Should I sit or walk or?
It's.
Sarah says do what you want or do what is appropriate at that time and just be aware of what you are doing. That's all.
Mm.
You can sleep. You can sit. You can swim. You can run. You know, whatever you feel like. It does bring stress, not just to you, to quite a number of yogis. It has felt, and they have said, you know, that they feel stressed by the fact that there's no schedule that tells them what to do. Yes. Yeah, and if you want, you can draw up a schedule for yourself, like where you feel that, you know, maybe this is the time to read, this is the time to sit, But the reason Seattle doesn't give us a schedule is Seattle says, in a way, to make us think for ourselves, what is suitable for us? Why am I sitting when I sit? Why am I walking when I walk? In the end, it's just to help you to be aware, whatever you do, because you're on retreat. But eventually, it's also to help you to be aware in whatever you do when you're at home, where another schedule governs you.
Right? Seattle
is very conscious of how the mind operates. You know, he knows that when there's a sitting, walking schedule, people think of that as meditation. So when they're not in that schedule, meditation is over. And he doesn't want us to lose the perception, lose the memory, the remembrance that meditation is being aware, which means that we can be aware of ourselves all the time from the moment we wake up until we go to sleep, whether we're bathing in the toilet, you know, or whatever we do.
Time stress,
Seattle says time stress, you know, we are familiar with time stress when we don't have enough time and we have to hurry to finish something. We're familiar with that time stress. But time is also stress when we have a lot of time and nothing to fill it with.
What to do?
What shall I do with myself?
Time stress.
That also gives the mind stress. So at that time, Seattle says, we have to use our own wisdom. Our own wisdom, our own effort to
to find out what is good and wholesome for the mind to do, right? Anything that we practice that is wholesome is practicing the Dhamma. It's not just the being aware, but, you know, anything wholesome that you do and anything wholesome that the mind exerts is practicing the Dhamma, is meditation. So, when we only follow instructions, Yato says, it doesn't give space for our own wisdom to operate. And he wants us to become familiar with using our wisdom and allowing it to operate.
Yeah, Zero says
he, you know, before, you know, he when he asked yogis, he would ask, you know, you come to practice. What is the benefit of practice? And people can't really tell. It's like they become calm when they sit or something like that. But why do we practice? What is the point? Like, he tells people to practice at home. He encourages people to practice at home, and they come for a retreat. And then he says, so why do you come for retreat if you can practice at home? And even then, sometimes they can't say. You know, he says, we have to practice and recognize from the practice also why the practice is valid for us. So all that comes from us.
Yeah,
he says in Burma, so often when he asks yogis, why have you come to the meditation center to practice? They said, I had some free time.
Holiday.
they had a holiday vacation. And he says, but then you're telling me that if you don't have free time, you won't practice the Dhamma.
So when
we really understand the point of the Dhamma, the wisdom that, you know, when we value that, when we value what mindfulness brings, what effect it has on our lives, he says, then that motivation to practice, to be aware, will be there all the time. No matter.
And one time in the center, one yogi, hurry to go to Dhamma Hall. I just look, where you are, you want to go? I go to Dhamma Hall. What for? Meditate. Why? Gong, because of gong. She said she want to meditate because of gong. If you're not gong, she never come. If you're someone, clong, 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 not doing like this, everybody sleep. Because that means she not use anything what she has.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to be make their mind awake, walking, busy. Mm-hmm. This is the meditation, part of our time of meditation. Yeah, everywhere I go, in the whole world, I go to retreat, I have no schedule. Some people, they very short, a lot of sweat coming, what to do next? In Australia, one guy, I want to go back, why? I don't know how to. Because they used to be follow the instruction, follow the time. In our life also, we have to follow the schedule. Without schedule, how to do? Then think, this better, that's better, not used to. Every day we follow the schedule. Morning work, 18, tomorrow, how to do, all the time. So you have become a robot. You are a human being, need to be used, your mind. Right? That's why I want to be no schedule and think about yourself. Why I want to work? One yogi tell that like this. Then she would try what she wants, she can do. So every time she choose, because of craving, I want to sit there because I want. Something he like this, so he go and sit. And later, he notice whatever he want to do is because of craving driving. So this is realize about ourselves. So that's why better to be no schedule. Yes, 1 hour to 2 hours, this is a meditation time. Mean is after 2 hours, then everybody give up to meditate.
Yeah, it's horrible to notice that the craving for instructions that that you just need something.
So, well, you know how it feels, and then, you know, when you feel you've had enough, then you can use your...
Judge Malone, and the Divine Malone, to nature of the world, we can see.
But remember, this is not your mind. It's just the nature of the mind. The mind has this possibility. That's a potential it has to feel that way. To, you know, some minds want to be independent, some minds want some direction. It's just the nature of the mind, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels this way and sometimes it feels that way, right? And just when you notice it's like this, that's the way it is right now.
So that's why I said, don't complain what is happening. Try to be mindful and be appreciate about your awareness.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
Thank you. I think he's saying that the fact that you see that means that there is mindfulness. He just wants you to appreciate that even though it seems so hard, there is still mindfulness. Siaro is a big advocate of knowing this mind that, you know, that we carry, you know. He says, because this mind has its unique tendencies and preferences and, you know, different, even though all of us have the same potential, we have a different mix, each of us, right? And he says, knowing this mind well is our strength. If we know that this is the weakness of this mind, if somebody criticizes us, we don't feel worse because we already know the reality of this mind. We're like, yes, this is, I know this is the weakness and that's it. And if we know that these are the strengths, somebody can criticize us and we won't care because we know, well, you might think that, but this is the strength of this mind. I know it well. So, you know, he says the there's a power in self-knowledge, in self-understanding. And that is what he wants us to gain. There's a confidence that comes with knowing this mind's strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. So knowing this mind well means understanding both. It is both good news and bad news. Eventually, it's just good, you know, because to know both the good news and bad news, yes. Yeah, and if somebody like comes and tries to, you know, if they try to praise you or to try to make you do something by, you know, telling you that you're better than you are because they want to, he says, then you're not moved because you know what this mind is capable of and what it can do. Yeah, so criticism of praise and blame become, you know, equal for you because you know the reality. So it gives a sense of freedom.
No.
Eventually.
Yeah.
He says it's important to know how powerful it is to have to learn how to be practicing whether somebody tells us to practice or not. Right? Because he says at home nobody's going to help us to practice or tell us to practice. We have to find that strength within ourselves to find faith in the practice and do it and find, you know, the benefits of it and so on. So he says this is a good
start.
Yeah. And of course he says sometimes in the beginning we might find it a bit difficult, but that's what a retreat is for. It helps us a bit more than life does. It's not going to help us all the way, but it helps us a little bit more. Then we find our way.
Yeah, I got a good schedule.
He says, find your own schedule. You can.
He says he doesn't give you a schedule, so what? You can draw your own schedule.
Make my schedule.
Yes, make your great. Yeah, you have that freedom.
You have a choice. The wall is yours.
Yeah. All right. All your wall.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Okay, this time I try to say something a little bit more than just everything, okay?
อ่าอะไรยันโตกันมณีญาติตะคุเปียวเปียเลยดําสอนตะเปียวเปียอาชินเพี้ยวตูช่องล่ะสรแล้วตูโหปฐมเนี่ยตูเปียวได้หาเนี่ยอาชินเนี่ยเนี่ยเปียงว่าแล้วตะบี้แล้วตูตะคุตะดิไปแล้วตูเปียตูเนี่ยดีหาโหอาชินเพี้ยวดีมาช่องอีกก้าวมะล่ะลูกญาจ้าเนี่ยมาก้าวล่ะช่องลูกยะเลยตูญาจ้าอีโปก้าวมะล่ะตูรู้ด้วยตูรู้ด้วยแล้วโหอ่ะยะแล้วก็ตุ้ยจุยยะเลยสรตูช่องมั้ยเลย
I find it a little bit difficult to explain my mind to others. So I've been looking at this experience as a whole, like including physical and mental objects and awareness too. And like different ways of dealing with it. Basically two different approaches or states or whatever. Like the first and worst being like being lost in this experience, like inside and identifying with some parts of it and kind of suffering as consequence. And the other way, like laying back a little bit and not getting so much involved and just knowing and letting everything flow. For example, today there was a moment that I was a little bit lost in this everything, and immediately there was some suffering. And I know from my own history and from others that it can even lead to a horrible mess if one gets lost in this world. So there is not so much interest anymore to get involved. Like I prefer just letting everything flow and but this not getting involved doesn't mean like inactivity necessarily. Like there can be action and planning and cooking and everything. It's no problem, but just let it happen as like part of the flow, not taking it as mine or anything. So this is what I have been exploring lately. ดีโลเนี่ยก็ตัดตาเลยโฮโลนี่ดุขข์หยอดไปเลยสรว่าทุกขณะขณะจုံไปไปเนี่ยเออแล้วตัวอ่ะดีตัวฉิเนี่ยจ้ะรออกูตัวชุบแก่จีอ่ะอแม้นเนี่ยแหละเผียไอ้ชุบแก่แท้มาอายุเนี่ยရှိတယ်စိတ်เนี่ยยုတ်เนี่ยရှိတယ်นัมเบอร์ตริยะเนี่ยရှိတယ်เนาะดีชุบแก่ทีมาเอ้อมาดีอายุ30 อายุเนี่ย 30 ดิอแม้ผิดเนี่ยแหละ तू ပြောတယ်ดีชุบแก่แท้ဝင်ပါวะเองเนี่ยอ่ะสรดุขข์ดิยะลาอ่ะตัว
โหดอดาผิดตัดเด้ลูกตบเปียตูดอดาเรามาผิดพูเรมากางมูสรตีเด้เลยนั่นแหละสอตะเปียเปียอะห่าส่วนเคสมาชิวดาแม้โจติญเปียท่าบาสอตะดิย่อลาได้เฉยมาไอ้เฉยมาดอดาผิดตัวตัดเอออาจารย์โจติญเปียท่าล่ะลูกตบเปียเออตูอกุรตูมาผิดพูเรตูเออยันเตจาเรอกุตูอ่ะญาณง่ะอูซีนี่รอดิเบหาติเนี่ยไม่ติ๋นสรเสกกะกังเนาะเออดูคว่ทุบเลยสรน่ะမျိုးสิเลยช่อกูคัดเว้ยเว้ยอ่ะจี้เลยสรอธิกะก็တော့อืออายุเนี่ยตีตา
That's right. Seattle says, you know, when you say that you can step back a little bit from it and not be involved, when you step away, it means that you can see the objects as well as the awareness. That's when it feels like you've leaned back a little bit, right? He says when you get involved, you lose sight of the awareness. You just see the objects.
Maybe, or then even lose awareness to
to the objects.
Or
yeah, thing with lying, huh?
One way or another.
Another. And when we are so intermittent, we don't be aware of that. Cool.
Oh no, that is what.
Yeah, says there's two scenarios when we get involved. Either the wisdom is weak or the awareness of the awareness is weak. If there's wisdom, somehow or the other, he says you will know the awareness and the object. Or if the wisdom is weak, you can still be aware of the awareness, you know, with practice. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So this is getting easier every time. Taking this. First of all, I'm aware of that we have a sound man, and I don't know if he has been speaking,
yes.
Reporting. Okay,
yes.
Good. Because I just came to my mind. Maybe I report a little bit what's going on. Yesterday was quite intense day. I had a lot of interactions. I have like few meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of talking with different people, and actually I was exploring how the mind reacted to different situations. There was this small incident with one person who was a little bit older and just like didn't have that kind of authority position. And it seemed that the person was kind of saying something that wasn't true.
Mm-mm.
So I noticed that there was this awareness of that, okay, this is, maybe there is something else that she's, what is actually happening, what she said. And I noticed that, and I was aware of my reaction because it was like, there was a little bit sadness maybe, but in that moment, but there was a lot of metta right away, like it's okay, and the mind didn't cling to that, and it just didn't need to think about it at all. It's just okay, just aware that there was this kind of thing going on, and it has happened actually a few times already here during the retreat. And then I had this one meeting with a friend. It was a longer one, and we were actually talking about daily life. For some reason, we haven't seen each other for a while, and we just started to talk about work and what is happening in daily life. And my mind went to this incident before I came to retreat. I kind of had this incident with one group that I have been working, that I felt that there is some kind of like the person who is kind of superior, the person kind of was changing actually the truth, like what we were talking before, and she kind of, in some ways, I didn't feel that it was honest anymore. And I felt that, like right away, there is this aversion, and the reaction of the mind is very different for that, because there is this position that the person was in. So there was right away aversion, and then there was this kind of wanting to reveal the truth kind of way. And then there was a lot of like anger,
yeah,
and stuff like that, yeah, rising. And I also I'm noticing that when I'm getting older, it's not easy to just step back and let it be. You just want to kind of, you know, reveal it.
Yeah.
And then I'm in trouble because in that group, other people also know that, okay, this is not actually what it, like, honest thing to say or do, but nobody says anything. Mm. They just accept it. And I'm the one who says it. And then I kind of, I think it's also a good thing to follow heart in that sense that if there is some kind of dishonesty or something, to step back and just leave it, because I actually left the work stuff. I don't want to do it anymore because of that.
Mm.
So that is actually what I'm exploring. Like people who have like a lot of power and they have some kind of status, the mind is expecting more honesty and kind of truthful behavior. But if it's like somebody who is not, in a way, in that position, it's easier to accept.
Mm.
And there is no judgment. So it's interesting to kind of follow that and
right,
and follow own reactions also for that.
Yeah.
So.
To
long story. Sorry.
She meet up on our site and mama near a white yellow to the cool pita. To a acquire a demand, you be an machine and lose a lot. To a the cool pure at him, acquire the other people to be a pure at him, and to tell it acquire a team man at Bionida. So to what who mama now pure the lupin, but no beer, jala, and automobile. Damn it to say him, I see my daughter be a pew. I acquire a blue pinners at one
day.
A thin, you know, to a lupoma mita sit down pin nine, all the little she there so brought to a tally tally devono. Damn it to the agent down as a gap, you're in a two but the time to pian sisami devono, dio malagin to a load of cool loan at Aima. Emma Jarabian, to what Anna Machidalu, Anna Shidalu, I dime who Peter Howe, who look on there, swear be pure up or not, to Colorado, swear bro, who my home of Mandalo, Peter, to one Mackenzie, to bother the Tamilas or that Chila, or a little Mahoma man, you poor broom, Macanya poor. ทุบเปล่าจินเนี่ยป่ะเนาะだแม้ทุบเปล่าไล่แต่จีตาเนี่ยတော့မဆိုင်ပါဘူးဘာလဲအသက်ကြီးတာเนี่ยတော့မဆိုင်ပါဘူးမခံရနေစိတ်အားကြီးလာတယ်နားလည်လို့ရှိရင်တော့ဒါကြီးကရော့သွားမှာရော့သွားမှာပေါ့အဲ့တော့သူကဒီစိတ်ဖြစ်တော့သူထုတ်ပြောတယ်တဲ့だแม้သူဘာတွေ့လဲဆိုတော့အဲ့ဒါလည်းပြဿနာပါဆိုတော့
ตัวรู้อ่ะแหละโหมาถอกกันไปกูไม่มาตาหัวผิดมาเออตูมีทุษะเนี่ยแหละอานาชื่อเนี่ยหลูเปล่าอีกกูก็ไม่คันจริงอานาไม่ชื่อเนี่ยหลูจะกูน้าแหละไปไหนเนี่ยแหละกูอ่ะอ่อจริงยอมนี่แล้วเออไอ้หลูမျိုးสรอกกูเอาจอกกูไม่คันไงอ่อจริงยอมไงกูอ่ะคันขึ้นลุดไหนเนี่ยตัวรู้สึกตาตะโบราเนเนจี้ตัวแล้วกูแล้วรู้ผิดตับไปเลย
Yeah,
yes, it is very interesting to see, you know, how when we are in a more helpless position, it's harder to accept inequality or injustice. Or, you know, if something is not right, it's harder to accept. But when we are in a position that we have more autonomy over the situation, we feel more empowered. So we feel less helpless. And then as a consequence, we feel less reactive. You know, we can even have metta because we see, we have a big, like a greater picture. But he says, whatever it is, I mean, all of these experiences kind of show us and, you know, we learn when it's useful to express an opinion, when it's useful to try to right a wrong or to reveal an injustice. Because sometimes, Sarah says, we can try to reveal an injustice and it's no use. And then we begin to recognize the situations where it's useful to speak, where it's not useful to speak, and we start to choose our battles. You know, we start to choose our battles according to where we can have, where we are more effective.
you know, then the ones that we can't help, we just have to let it go. And it's a form of wisdom, Sierra said, to know when we can act and when we cannot act, and the result may not be good, but we can accept that in this situation, this is the best it can be. This is the way it will be, you know. And he was talking about the four Brahma Viharas, you know, the Metta and Karuna and Mudita and Upekkha, and we mustn't forget Upekkha. He said Upekkha is when we know that we can't help anything, so we accept that this is how it is.
Maybe one more question, or just a thought about, I have been, actually I talked, was it also yesterday, I don't remember, but about the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the experience is so that I'm kind of questioning, is this awareness, this being's awareness,
yeah,
or is it collective? Or is it like shared with some other? Yeah, but the thing is that, for example, when I kind of did, years ago, I was treating people with the Chinese, I did the traditional Chinese medicine treatments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for example, I kind of, sometimes I felt somebody's pain in my body, even though I didn't know what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that, okay, this is okay, I feel something here.
Mm.
And after half an hour, lady came in and said that she has pain here.
Right.
So yeah, then it's interesting to kind of what is that?
Yeah. Okay. Tua tua dilome tua takhatli the chu the dimo is ra ho satamayon ba pyo mla mho to cha lu chang ne ne ti de lo phit da a ra ba le de तू आरो जगलों ऐसा तो ना कलेक्टिव कॉन्शियसनेस तो रहा डबी रहा राउ मतलब ने लो बस कलेक्टिव कॉन्शियसनेस रहा आलों ये अतिया टनियामा सुने बे अलो राम हो फुलो डामे हो उपमारे तू ये ना तू असाइटे बिना तू ते नाले तो खाली तू खाना मा तू टकू खान जा रहे ना तू बापिलो गुडीना मा ना Kanakuma tu sekarang nene tu cuti le, the machine.
Ah, beli tu mana le tu luar.
Yeah.
Beli tu mana? Tamari kong ni tadi tu
ya. Yeah, that's a kind of a different kind of wisdom comes from samadhi. So a little bit of foreseeing or some sort of, but it's not from a collective consciousness. It is just a different kind of. But we have to be careful of that kind of, it's like a premonition or a foreseeing. We have to be careful with those because they are more accurate when the mind is calm and clear and collected. And then if the mind is not, it can get mixed up with our imagination.
Right? So,
So he said, no, he was just joking. He said, like, you know, he said the other day he was feeling some pain here, and now like some other people have, you know, pain here. But for him, he's not sensitive to energy. So for him, it's just a coincidence, you know. So so just to know that. Yeah. So he says until it's confirmed, he says don't believe them, right? So because sometimes it's coincidence and sometimes it's actually a.
So he said it can be
dangerous to attribute things out external things to things that we feel. It can be dangerous because it can become almost like a weird habit, you know. So he says like. He said the simplest explanation is the pain that you felt here has its own cause and effect. And the person who came with that condition has their own cause and effect. Whether they are related,
he says we don't know, you know. He had a relative who thought that, you know, had some random thought, you know, oh dear, what if my son dies because they were overseas or something, and then the son died, and she thought that her thinking that made her son die, and she went almost crazy, because every time she had some negative thought, she would be really afraid it would come true and drove herself almost nuts. Yeah, so. So to be careful with that sort of believing a connection. He said, so each thing that happens has its own cause effect stream, and we don't know whether there's a relationship, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of your own.
Okay. Finish, right?
Bibabi.
I do have a question, I'm sorry. I know I'm not sitting in the circle. Is that okay? I'm always like the last one.
No, okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Hopefully it'll be short. I talked to you a little bit about it today. Mm-hmm. I had an experience when I was sitting that I started not to feel formless. Mm. And then I was quite surprised because I was not doing concentration practice. Mm. So I was surprised it happened. Mm. And then I had this thought, well, if I don't have any form, what if I kind of just flop over and hit the other yogis? So that quickly opened my eyes to kind of regain that sense of form again. Mm-hmm. And then I closed my eyes again. And again, the formlessness came again. Mm. So then I started just try to sense the form peripherally on my body. Mm-hmm. So that, so I don't feel the formlessness. And my question is, when that happens, do I just be absorbed, allow myself to be absorbed into that formlessness? Or do I always try to keep an object? Because what I noticed when I was in that state is there's no object for me to be aware of except this state of formlessness.
No thinking, no hearing.
Well, my mind was checking. It was checking, well, do I see anything? Do I sense anything? And what I could only feel was this. It was very pleasant. So I did feel a sense of pleasantness.
And you could see yourself thinking.
Could I see myself thinking?
Well, the mind was thinking. You just described all the things.
You're right. I could see myself thinking. But there was no clear object for my mind to observe. It just felt like I would be absorbed into it. And then my mind did think, well, how far do I go into this path of being...
Don't get absorbed. Never get absorbed in that.
So don't get absorbed in
never.
Yeah, I felt like don't I could go down.
Always
rabbit
come
hall.
Back to the awareness. Always come back to the awareness. Number two, tu wo xin pia le, era sit ka, tu wo pia concentration ma lou pime, elo pite, tu wo pia mo sit ka ai chang ma sin sa ro lo lo. Number two,
concentration ma lou pime, tu wo ngain la bi, ta ti ya ma kaung lo, ma no ja ro bu. Ai di ma tu wo ai de involve pite nai ne. Ma no ja ni pite, ta ma di kaung ma mo.
Shadow says this can also happen when the awareness. Not only when you have concentration, this can also happen when the awareness is not good. He says when the mind gets dull, too quiet, and then it feels like the objects are not clear, and then it's sort of like sinking into sleep. And you know, thinking that there's no object is clearly a delusion, you know, because objects are always there. Right?
He
said he used to do that. That's why he was doing, showing that just now. He said when he was younger, he loved the idea that you could get deep concentration. Then he would like dive into the depths of some darkness and follow that. He says, and it's like drilling down into something. But it was just delusion, he says. It's not, it's just a concept. It's not real. He says sometimes his mind even would have a like a soundtrack for himself. He's like, wee, and he's going deeper. For his own delusion. Yeah.
It did not, the weirdness did not feel dull, unless maybe it is dull and I'm just not aware that it's dull.
Come back to the awareness, stop looking for the object.
Okay.
Come back to the awareness.
He
says there are, you know,
in
the 31 realms of existence, the highest realms are the realms of these beings called
they're
20 kind of realms, all in the, mm-hmm. they're called the Brahma realms. And they're all gained by practicing concentration, okay, and achieving certain levels of concentration. And the top two levels of concentration are the levels of, can somebody help me with the top two levels? The first, the top one is formlessness, I think, or no.
Neither perception or non-perception.
That's number seven. And number eight, the top one
Nothingness.
So the top one is completely no form, nor no mind, no form.
The other way around.
Okay.
Nothingness.
Because you're perceiving nothingness in.
Okay, so I have somebody look it up in the dictionary or the you know Abhidhamma. I can't remember the exact things, but so you know, but it's concept. Both perception, like thinking that there's no perception and thinking there's perception. All of that is also
concept.
When there is concentration. And the mind thinks something, it can become real for the mind because it's magnified for the mind. It gives the illusion of reality. So we really have to be careful with concentration.
So if that happens again, do I try to create a sense of form or do I open my eyes again?
He said, stay with your awareness.
Yeah. Okay. I am still.
Yes, he says, if you know mind and body, this will happen. He says, this is happening because the mind doesn't understand reality, so it's conceptualized something it's experiencing and given you a picture, which has no form.
Right.
So stick with the awareness.
Okay.
Stick with knowing what you know and feel.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm. Okay, thank you.
If you ask me about those two realms, I'll be like, yes.
No, not about those, but still relating to concentration and focus.
Okay.
I've noticed that, or I want to actually clarify, what's the difference between focus and concentration? Sometimes like...
awareness, focus, pay attention, camera,
says focus is simply something the mind does. It's like an activity of mind, right? So, and it's like a zoom lens. Like, do you focus lightly? Which, you know, to some extent, when we are aware, the mind is already focused, but it's just focused enough. It's enough to know what's happening. It doesn't actually need to zoom in any more than that, right? But then we can focus harder and we can try to see more than we naturally know. And then you have the soundtrack, and then you go, you try harder, but it brings more tension, right? So that's focusing. Focusing is like how the mind pays attention or is aware. And he's saying that a natural awareness doesn't need more focus than the mind already has naturally.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And concentration is a state. Concentration go bolo pyom le. Tuwa achi ni phi twa ra ba. Tuwa achu. Achu ho ma la.
Tamadi achu. Achu. Stability mind achu.
Right. Yeah. So I won't use the word concentration because it's confusing to use the word concentration because in English it means something else. So I'll just use the word samadhi. Okay. Samadhi, which I usually call stability of mind.
Right.
To just denote the bare stability that's necessary for the mind to be able to just be aware. Okay? But samadhi is a state of mind. Samadhi is the effect, is a state of mind, is the effect of either the mind being wise, so it's stable, so it sees things in the right way, so it's stable, or the mind having been aware continuously of something, the mind is still because it's not lost in thought or not restless, and the mind is stable. So there's two reasons why the mind can have that effect, and that becomes like the state of mind, but it's not what the mind is doing, right?
Yeah. Thank you.